Welcome back to another episode of PB and Ballers. Today, Jason and I are so pleased to be joined by the one, the only, the legend, the OG of Korean football writers, Steve Han. Round of applause for Steve.
Hey,
how you doing,
that's
Steve?
Embarrassing. That's embarrassing, but I'll take it. Thank you. No, thanks for having me, guys. Like, what you guys do is really cool. Yeah, so thanks for having me. It's going to be fun.
Steve, it's always a honor and privilege to have you on the show. Figured, you know, we'll jump right into it. There's been a lot going on, you know, regarding the Korean national team, our manager, our players. We have a new manager. He's an interim, Hwang Sonong. I want to hear your initial thoughts on him. Why him? And is there another name you might have preferred over him?
Well, I mean, this is like a two-part question, though, right? Because I don't think anybody's pleased with what's going on. But like you kind of have to break it up, though. Like, are you really angry at Hwang Sonong being the interim manager? Or are you angry at the situation that led to this? Or are you angry at the situation that led to this? You know what I mean? I think it's two very different situations. But, I mean, I think the fact that they put Hwang Sonong there in that position, especially like not even a week after they booked these games in Saudi Arabia for the under-23 team, I mean... It just shows you where the organization, like, or from an organization standpoint, it kind of shows you where they are. And, you know, and you look at the Asian, you know, the under-23 Asian Cup that's in April. I mean, that's going to be the Olympic qualifying for this team. And that's not going to be an easy tournament because you have to finish in the top three to go to the Olympics. And the Olympics are very important for Korean football. It's probably more important for Korea than probably any other country, to be honest. And if they don't go to the Olympics, which honestly is a possibility. I mean, you look at the way they played at that tournament last time around, 2 years ago. They were knocked out by Japan. It was a 3-0 loss. And they're in the group with Japan, China, UAE. That's not going to be easy. And just the fact that, and you know, once they get past the group stage there, it's the quarterfinals, it's the semifinal. It's going to be tough. And the fact that that team will be missing their head coach, because of these pair of games that, I mean, Korea could afford to lose to Thailand, the senior team. They could afford to drop one game to Thailand and they'll still be okay. I mean, it won't be the worst thing to happen to them. So I think the fact that they're taking this risk is what kind of, like, I just don't understand. I don't think anybody truly, really understands. I don't think you guys understand either, to be honest. But I guess another thing is, like, it's just weird to me. Just the fact that they seem very reluctant to bring outsiders into their organization. That's the way I feel about this situation, the way I look at it. Because, I mean, there's honestly no risk involved. I mean, you look at the technical committee right now, and they have coaches there as members of the technical committee who don't have jobs right now. So this job could easily go to one of them. This could easily go to Jung Hae-sung himself. I mean, he was a head coach himself. They obviously don't want to put themselves in that position, but they also don't want to bring an outsider to take that seat temporarily. So they're bringing someone from within who has a very big tournament coming up in less than 2 months. So it's, you know, it kind of shows you. The way I feel about it, honestly, it looks to me like there's something that they're trying to hide. But I think we all know what they're trying to hide. It's the fact that they're a mess as an organization. I mean, right now, when you look at the national team, they don't even have a proper training base. You guys realize that, right? They lost Paju, guys. Like, when this team was put together in December to prepare to go to the Asian Cup, while they were in Korea, they couldn't train outdoor. They were training indoor at their team hotel. It was only when they flew to the UAE they were able to do proper training. I mean, that's how sad this situation is right now. So I don't think they want any outsiders to see it, to experience any of that, right? Even as an interim coach.
So you mentioned the technical committee. Chung Hae-sung is the man who was appointed to help find the interim candidate. Now, I don't know if these reports are true, but from what I saw, media reports in Korea said that the KFA committee was set to discuss a possible interim yesterday when Chung Hae-sung burst into the room and announced that Hwang Sun-hong's hiring had been finalized out of nowhere. that reportedly led to committee members being angry. Some of them apparently got into a shouting match with Mr. Chung, but then by the end of the meeting, they had to back down and listen because apparently this came from the top dog. So, I mean, Steve, I know you talked about this a bit, but how worried should we be that we have a child at the top of the KFA making these kinds of decisions by himself?
It's not. I'm not laughing at what you said. I'm just like, I'm just laughing at that situation, you know, because you know that whole rumor about how they got into a shouting match or whatever. So, I mean, I heard about that too, and the way I heard it was, it wasn't so much that it was like an argument, but there was some level of opposition within the KFA who, like, the people who didn't agree with Hwang Seon-hong being named the interim coach. So I think that's where this argument, if you can call it that. I mean, I wasn't there. I don't know what exactly happened. I only heard. But I mean, that again, like, shows you, because not too long after that discussion, apparently they made the official announcement as him being the interim head coach. So it's that situation to me is honestly, it's so sad that it's funny. Like, because I don't even know what to say about it. I mean, you asked how worried we should be. I mean, like, seems to me like you guys have been worried just as much as I have. It's a mess. I mean, you talked about Chung Hae-sung. I mean, let's talk about him. Like, I mean, let me ask you guys a question. Like, what do you guys know about Chung Hae-sung?
For me, based on, you know, what I was looking through his profile when we were preparing for some of our videos, he was the assistant coach for Good Inc. He was the assistant coach. He was a assistant coach under the KFA for a while. So like you said, he's familiar with the organization. And this just feeds into the narrative, you know, that maybe the KFA prefers to have people who've worked in the organization for a long time and they don't like to bring in outsiders. I know that briefly he had a stint out in Vietnam, maybe in Ho Chi Minh as a head coach. And then he's been, you know, just more of a part of the technical committee for the KFA. That's the extent of my knowledge, at least.
For me, I know, as Jason said, he's been part of the KFA's quote-unquote family since Jason and I were kids, all the way back to, you know, the 2002 World Cup. And then I recently looked at his resume, like Jason said. He's the last coaching stint I think he had was pre-COVID over in Vietnam. Before that, I see he was also a technical director at a high school in South Korea at Chungang Kodonghakgyo. So, I mean, okay, not the worst resume. He definitely has experience in Korea, but I think, Steve, you told me this before, but it seems like almost he's just a yes man or a puppet for Chung Mong-kyu.
Yeah, so here is the thing. This is what makes me sad. Like, this is when it becomes, like, no longer funny to me. Like, seriously. Because when you look at somebody like Chung Hae-sung, like, I mean, you guys saw him in the presser, right? Like, he's not the most eloquent person. And, I mean, having known him as a coach, because he was a head coach in the K-League, too, way back in the days. You know, like, having known him as a coach and having watched some of his teams, he is actually a good coach. I mean, he was a head coach of Pucheon SK, the team that was that predates Jeju United. And that was actually a very good team when that team was under him. From what I remember, I was quite young back then too. But another thing about that is 2002 World Cup, he was one of the head assistant coaches for Gus Hiddink. And 2010 World Cup, he was the head assistant coach under Heo Jung-moo when Korea went to the last 16 for the first time on, you know, outside of Korea. He's actually something of a legend in Korean football. Like, he's somebody who should be celebrated. Like, he's somebody who should be respected. But it's just, he's just not suited to become a technical director. Because, I mean, officially, his job title is not technical director, but that's pretty much what it is. That's the role that he is at least supposed to be playing. You guys understand that his job right now as the head of the technical committee is not a full-time position. Like, he does not report to the KFA on a daily basis. You could take this position and, you know, I mean, it seems like a very important position, and it should be, because a role of a technical director should be very important for any country, for any federation. But for Korea, that's where the level of the KFA really is. They don't have a full-time technical director. And Chung Hae-sung is actually, like I said, he's somebody who should be celebrated. And he's probably somebody who should be in coaching education at the KFA, building relationships with coaches and local youth leagues and things like that. That role probably suits him perfectly. You put him in a position where he's pretty much set up to fail, because is he the decision maker? By KFA regulation, he's not even allowed to do that. Like, he cannot make a decision without Jung Mong-kyu's signature. Like, he is being put in a position where he's pretty much acting as the shield for the KFA. So like that's what makes me sad, because here's somebody who is quite old now, and he should be celebrated. He should be respected, especially by the younger generation. But and I don't blame some of the younger people for thinking that this man is just some, you know, random guy who just showed up one day and just became a puppet for the KFA. Like, they can very much think that when you know, like, you guys had to look him up, right? Like, to actually get to know some of the things that he's done. The only thing he can do is to be criticized. I mean, like, did you guys see that presser where he was like, oh, I'll be responsible if something goes wrong? Like, what responsibility can he really take? And like, what does it really mean when he says, and can you really hate on him for saying such a thing? Because he's only saying that because, first of all, he's not very eloquent. That's number one. There's no knock on him. That's just the way he is. And number two, he just doesn't know what to say because the organization doesn't have a plan, and he's being put in a position to represent an organization after being put in that position like a couple of days ago. That's the reality of the situation. So when you unfold some of these things, you actually, like, what you're left is with, like, at first you get angry, and then it kind of, like, becomes, oh, like, this is actually sad.
So, Steve, I noticed, you know, a lot of parallels between what you mentioned about Song Hye-sung and Hwang Sun-hong as well. Two guys that are being placed in positions where it seems like they're being set up to fail. And really, Hwang Sun-hong is a guy that, like you said about Song Hye-sung, he's a guy that should be celebrated. You know, of course, everyone knows about his achievements as a player for the Korean national team. And then even as a manager, of course, you know, the U23 team did have up and down performances, but at the end of the day, Hwang Sun-hong led this team to gold and military extension, especially for guys like Lee Kang-in, Lee Han-bom, Park Jin-sub, et cetera, et cetera. What do you think about Hwang Sun-hong? For me, I think he deserves a little bit of the blame because I feel like he could have declined this position. For me, I think he has a professional obligation to put 100% effort into Olympic qualifying, considering how important this is.
Hwang Sun-hong, like, the KFA, I think we all have to kind of understand that they run very much like a company. If you're a KFA employee, which a head coach of the under-23 national team, you know, is, it's sort of like you're one of the employees, and whatever they ask you kind of becomes another item as part of their scope of work, if that really makes sense. So that was the problem with Paolo Bento, to be honest with you, because the KFA wanted Bento to run seminars, to be more to proactively meet more coaches, you know, to be a part of the coaching education. They wanted him to be a part of all that, but Bento's position was, I'm the head coach of the national team. We'll go to the World Cup. I need to. That's my job. But the KFA's position was, you're in a position where you're the head coach of the national team as a KFA employee, and we're asking you to do these things. But I mean, and I'm not sure if he's done none of it or he's done some of it or what the agreement was. I'm not sure what any of that stuff was. But I do know that there was some dispute there. So, you know, as a career, as a domestic coach, whether you're Hwang Sun-hong or whether you're a head coach, you know, working at a KFA as one of the instructors with no playing background, no matter who you are, if you're employed by the KFA and they come to you and ask you to be in charge of the national team for 1 week and a half, it's very hard for them to say no. So I do think we have to understand that a little bit, but I do understand what you're saying in the sense that if he genuinely tried to understand the situation, the right thing for him to do was probably to say, hey, like, I got the under-23 team to focus on. But I'm quite sure it was very difficult for him to say that. And, you know, going back to Chung Hye-sung, Chung Hye-sung was his coach in 2002 when they went to the semifinal of the World Cup together. So there's that relationship. And Chung Hye-sung is somebody who was pretty much forced to be in his position. Hwang Sun-hong is someone who is being forced to be in his position right now. So it was them too who had this conversation. Did any one of those two really have a say in this? You know, like, going back to Hwang Sun-hong, and it's hard for me to criticize him. I'm gonna be honest, like, it's hard for me to criticize him. I mean, that doesn't mean I won't criticize him when, like, you know, when Korea got knocked out of the under-23 Asian Cup in the quarterfinals, they lost 3-0 to Japan. Like, I was on him. But it's hard for me to just like be angry at him. You know what I mean? Because he was my legend. Like growing up in Korea in the 90s, he was the guy. Like I think a lot of people, like especially a lot of the younger people. I mean, I'm still pretty young too, but a lot of the younger people, they don't quite understand the magnitude of his stardom. The kind of stardom that he enjoyed in the 90s. When he went down with that ACL injury, like prior to 98 World Cup, right just before the tournament, it was heartbreak. Heartbreak for the entire fan base. Heartbreak. I mean, he had a lot of haters too, but I mean, Son Heung-min has a lot of haters right now in Korea. So like this is Korea we're talking about. Yeah, so it's hard for me, man. And then to see him come back from that in 2002... and scoring that goal to give Korea the first ever win at a World Cup. I mean, I have his jersey. I have his jersey right there in my closet. I don't even take it out because I don't like, you know, I don't like too much light hitting it. Like, seriously, I'm trying to protect this, so I keep it where it's dark. That's the kind of presence he is to me. So it's really hard for me to really, like, go at him. You know what I mean? But, like, to be fair, as a coach, it's been a struggle for him the last few years. I mean, the Asian Games, it was great, but hey, like the bare minimum at that tournament in terms of expectation was to win it, really. Like, because not many teams take that tournament seriously. And like, if you're Korea, you go to that tournament to win it. It's like you either win or it's a complete disaster because you're pretty much running the risk of restricting an entire generation of players. But I mean, he got that done. Like, I mean, credit to him. Like, the job got done. I mean, they didn't play the greatest football, but it's also hard for him because that team got put together very last minute. I mean, Seol Yong-woo, like, joined that team after playing, like, a pair of friendlies in England. Like, he joined that team, like, way late, like, way deep into the training camp. But I mean, they got the job done. So, I mean, give him credit for that. But in terms of some of the other coaching situations that he was in like the last like 8 years, then the problem for him was dealing with big personalities, especially like his time at FC Seoul. I think a lot of people actually predicted that he'd be successful there, but I mean, he won a title in his first season. Like, I mean, it was a bit of a fortunate title for him, but he did win it. But since then, it was just complete downhill, and he had some clashes with players too. He just had problems dealing with big personalities, and obviously at national team level. I mean, this is an interim position, so I'm sure it's a lot different, but you know, that could be problematic. But I mean, you know, I spoke with Jung Sang-bin like a couple of weeks ago. I mean, he was all about Hwang Sun-ho. Like, he really likes him. He was like, hey, he told me something that not many players told me. He was like, he always listens to the players. Like, he's very respectful when he talks to me. And like, I didn't hear a lot of that about him before that.
But let me kind of piggyback off what you said about Hwang Sun-ho, because I tweeted about one of his former players, Dejan Damjanovic, who was a pretty big legend in the K-League. And he talked about how Hwang Sun-ho had good ideas tactically, but he had no idea how to man-manage. And that it seemed like with him, he had a problem with the foreign players. So maybe, Steve, he just has an easier time with the Korean guys, and maybe it's a cultural language barrier. He just can't get along with some guys who speak English, maybe.
I think that's a very valid point. Because, you know, when he won the K-League with Pohang, I mean, you guys know he won it without any foreigners on that team. I mean, that's a pretty legendary achievement in and of itself. I mean, you kind of have to give him credit for that, like in a different way. You know, going back to that whole, you know, criticism about his struggle with managing big personality, because Dejan's a huge personality, especially in Asian football. And then, you know, you go back and look at some of the situations that he had with Park Ju-young at FC Seoul. I mean, that was a problem too. And Park Ju-young, you know, at the time was a big star. So yeah, I mean, I do think Dejan's criticism, especially, you know, Dejan did concede that he's a good tactician, but that, you know, his lack of man management skills kind of just like negated all of that. But, you know, it's hard to defend Hwang Sun-ho too as a coach, because, you know, and then he went on to Daejeon, where he was given a lot of resources to rebuild that team. And it didn't go well, man. Like, I was rooting for the guy. I really was. I was really rooting for him. But, like, it just didn't work out.
Steve, moving back to the national team, whether we like it or not, Hwang Sun-ho is the manager. How do you see the two games against Thailand playing out? And do you expect him to go with the roster that we took to the Asian Cup in Qatar? Or do you, maybe could there be a few new faces that we see? Park Yoo-ho out, maybe Ikiji out, and someone else in? What do you think?
Like, I mean, right now it's all speculation, right? Because we don't even know who the coaching staff for this team. That's another thing. Like, they're going to put together a coaching staff for this team. and then they're gonna get disassembled after like these two games? Like, how does that how do they even get paid for that? Like, I really, like, out of personal curiosity, I just want to know. Like, if I were to speculate, I don't think he makes too many changes, to be honest, because it's just weird for an interim manager to come in and to make like wholesale changes in the squad like that. That's kind of wild, you know. So I think he goes with most of the player who, I think maybe he takes a group of some of his under 23 guys just to keep them with him, maybe, but like, that's a bit of a risk too, because I mean, he's already getting criticized when he hasn't even said a word yet, and like, imagine him doing like, you know, picking like a third of his team being under, I can't really imagine that, but maybe that's an option. The question I have though is, does any of that really matter? Like, let's say Korea, I mean, they should win when they play in Korea against Thailand. And let's say they go to Thailand and it's a draw. It's actually like, they're still pretty much securing their place in the final round of qualifying if they can manage 4 points in these two games. And if they lose one game, like in Thailand, like, you obviously don't want to put yourself in that position, but it's also not the worst thing. They're still in pretty good hands, because they'd secure 9 points already. I've never been so unexcited about a Korea like national team game. It's because, like, does any of this even really matter? Like, am I even really gonna watch? I mean, I'll probably watch, but like especially if they win the first game of these two, like the first of these two games, like, what does that second game even really mean?
Well, let's address the elephant in the room and why the vibe around the national team is so bad. Now, I'm not pinning blame on this player, but this whole thing was sparked with the disastrous exit to Jordan, and more specifically, we talk about Ping Pong Gate, right? The elephant in the room is the beef, quote-unquote, between Lee Gang-in and Son Heung-min. Steve, Jason and I have let our views be known on social media pretty well, but
I saw.
This time to just unload. I want to hear what you think about this Ping Pong Gate, and let our viewers know your thoughts on it and what you think the KFA should be responsible for.
So all this, like, I'm a root cause kind of guy. So when there's a problem, I like to have someone to kill. That makes sense. When there's a problem, I like to find somebody who's responsible. You know what I mean? Because like, if to get to the bottom of it, and if he's really responsible or not. You know what I mean? You look at this situation, and obviously the majority of the fandom, I think they kind of split into either you're either supporting Son Heung-min or you're protecting Lee Gang-in, or I guess the vast majority kind of went with Son Heung-min too, which, like, I mean, understandable, I think. To me, the root cause of this is with the coaching staff. Under Paolo Bento, none of this happens. If Chung Hae-sung decided to be the interim head coach for these two games, none of this happens. Like, this does not happen. Under Paolo Bento, this does not happen. Under Shin Tae-yong, this does not happen. Look at how a football team operates. Most head coaches, I'm not going to say all, but most head coaches, they say, we'll have team dinner at 6 o'clock until 7. And it's just assumed that nobody leaves the room until 7, because that's considered a team dinner / meeting. That's when you're with your guys. But obviously, Klinsmann, it's been revealed that he didn't have any of that. He did not have any internal policies. He let his guys do whatever the hell they want. So when you, I mean, Gang-in is how old? Like 22, 23? He wanted to play some ping pong, man. Like, the guy wanted to play some ping pong, which he probably shouldn't have. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, he's with his brothers, man. Like, he's Korean. You know what I mean? Like, we kind of have to understand that, too. I mean, Son Heung-min's, like, how much older than him? Almost, like, 10 years older than him, bro. Like, so when he tells you not to go play ping pong for another 30 minutes or so, I think it's probably better you stay there for another 30 minutes and then go play ping pong. I don't know if Gang-in tried to take a swing at someone. I don't know. I wasn't there, man. I didn't say there's no video of this. I don't know. Like, how do we know? Nobody knows this. I mean, if Gang-in really did try to punch Son Heung-min, though, that's, you know, like, I might have reacted the same way, but that doesn't mean that's the right thing to do. I'm not going to criticize Son Heung-min because, like, it's just weird to do that. And I'm not going to criticize Lee Gang-in because the kid's 22. So it's not like he wanted to do anything crazy. The guy just wanted to play some ping pong. So it's ping pong, man. Like, come on. Like, it's not like he wanted to leave the team hotel and go hang out outside and go drink.
Like Lee Dong-guk did, I think, before.
There you go. There you go. And that was like four oldest guys on the team that did this. And that was how long ago? Like 15 years ago.
Suspend Kangin for Thailand and suspend him for 6 months, as some people have said, or call him up. What do you think? What would you do? What do you think Kwang's going to do then?
But suspend him for what? Like, what do you suspend him for? For going to play ping pong when Son Heung-min told him not to? Or playing ping pong and, like, yelling? Like, what's the reason for a suspension? Do we even know what happened? You know what I mean? Like, does anyone even know what happened? Dude, it's just, like, so weird. Like, every one of these technical committee meetings, right? Like, they say, oh, like, on this day, we're going to have a technical... Like, that in and of itself is funny to me. But, like, after every single one of those meetings, like, all the reporters know, like, what they talked about. Like, how does that even happen? You know what that means? That means somebody's spilling all this. And the KFA cannot protect themselves. Like, they don't know who... They either don't know who's doing it or they don't care. I can't think of any other country this happens where the journalists know exactly what happened in meetings of technical committees at a federation. This is an organization where they themselves, like, each other, they can't trust each other. That's how broken they are. You can't really point finger at one person and be like, oh, this guy's the problem. You get rid of him, everything's going to be okay. That's not what this is, guys. Like, this is a relationship problem. Like, this is an institutional issue.
So, Steve, despite the institutional, systematic problem that you mentioned, life goes on. We got to sue the manager by, what, May or July or June, they were saying? Firstly, if Hwang Sun-hong does well in these two Thailand games and he secures Olympic qualification, is there a chance that the KFA offers him a full-time position? That's my first question.
Yeah.
And the second question is, if not, who would you like to see, or what style of manager would you like to see come to Korea?
So, like, I'm going to troll you guys. I'm going to troll you guys, and I just have this gut feeling. I don't know if this is going to go down this way, but I just have this gut feeling. If Korea wins these two games against Thailand in March, they're booking their place in the next round of World Cup qualifying. Whatever games they have left in this round of qualifying pretty much becomes negligible. So whatever they have to play June, those two games matter even less than these two games. So if they do that with Hwang Sun-hong in March, and the under-23 team, I don't know if any of this happens. I don't know how likely this is, but let's say they book their place at the Olympics. I actually think there's a chance the KFA takes their time with hiring the head coach, which I don't think is a problem. I think they should do that. I think if that's what it comes down to hire a good, competent coach, you hold this out to September. Because the European leagues end in May, June. And some managers leave after that. So buy yourself some time. You want to hold this until September? I think that's totally fine. But I think KFA might do this for the wrong reasons. And I, like, this is not me reporting. This is just me, like, gut feeling wise. I think there is a chance that they give another interim term to Hwang Sun-hong for June, because those two games don't really matter. So they use those games to prepare for the Olympics. They use the under-23 players, like, or I don't know how they're gonna organize it, but I really think they might debate this, and they go to Olympics that way and get and prepare them that way. And that's their excuse for screwing up March for the under-23 team by hiring Hwang Sun-hong into this position. But in August, if Korea goes to the Olympics and if they win a medal, if they win a medal, the next game for Korea, the full team, is in September. They can line them up that way if they want to. And I would not be surprised if this is in their like plans. I'm saying plan for lack of a better word, but you get what I'm saying. Because it's not that hard to read them, guys. Like, because you guys saw all their moves coming, right? As soon as we knew that Klinsmann was going, we knew what was happening. We knew exactly what was going to happen. And every step of the way, it's been what we predicted.
I believe personally that Hwang Sun-hong has been plotting for the senior job for a while. And I think he eagerly took the interim. Yeah. So he's like, all right, let me spank that Thai booty, and then I'll go to the Olympics and I'll get a medal. And then I'll go to the KFA and be like, hey, I'm a faithful servant. If you don't give me the senior job, you're screwing me over. I think that that's his master plan. I don't think Chung Myung-kyu has a master plan, because I think he's very reactionary. But I think Hwang Sun-hong is a very, very smart individual to have survived this long within this toxic organization.
Hwang Sun-hong is a smart man. He's a very intelligent man. I don't know if I can say that I disagree with you, because his dream has been to be the head coach of the national team ever since he's retired. That's what he wanted to do. And at one point, man, like, when I was seeing him, like, with all that success that he was having with Pohang, like seeing him on the come up with like going through Busan, going to Pohang, enjoying that kind of success, I honestly thought he was going to be the manager one day, maybe after Hong Myung-bo, because this was back in 2014 we're talking about. And you know what people were saying back in those days when he was actually popular amongst the fan base? People were like, let's save him for the future because he's too precious for us. Like that was the public reaction back then. Like let's save him. I still remember this article that was written by a journalist who I have tremendous amount of respect for. So Jung is his name. I still remember that column. He was like, let's save him for future, because right now the KFA is in a mess. We don't want him in that situation. Yeah, but I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, you can't really say that he's plotting for this, though, because plotting implies that like he has plans to win a medal at the Olympics. And that's not a plan. That's like if he can do it, like, because winning a medal at the Olympics is as hard as going to like the last 16 or quarterfinals of a World Cup, or maybe even harder. So like if he can pull that off, like regardless of how he does it, like if he does it, I'm not going to know what to say to that then. Like if he does it. But, dude, like, he's not going to do it, man. Like, it's not happening. It's very unlikely this happens, man. Like, you really think Korea, this team, is going to go to the Olympics and win a medal? I don't know if they're going to get through qualifying, really. I mean, they're not even going to have a coach in their last training camp. Like, we're going to expect them to go to the Olympics and win a medal? And if this is, like, part of their plan, like I said, lack of a better word, like, if this is the part of their plan, I mean, like, okay, like let's see what happens.
I definitely agree with you, Steve. Because looking at our group, it's not an easy group. We have Japan, China, who always play us hard and dirty, and we have UAE as well. So getting out of the group,
yeah,
isn't a guarantee either. And the other, we saw it at the Asian Cup. Obviously, it's going to be a little bit different at the U23 level. But these lower Asian sides are coming up, and they're challenging us. And yeah, it's no longer an automatic berth to the Olympics. Couple that with the fact that Hwang Sun-ok has not impressed us with his performances with the U23 team. Like that 3-0, what was it, 3-0 win against France? That was a total fluke, and that was because Thierry Henry, who's probably as good of a manager as Jurgen Klinsmann, was the manager of that French team. I think you said he was smart, Steve. I think he's a little stupid, maybe overconfident, because this is perhaps the biggest gamble of his career. Because yes, if it goes right, everything happens according to his plan or his dream, I guess. Then he gets his dream, like you said, Steve, of managing the Korean national team. However, if this does not go to plan, let's say there's a little bit of a choke against Thailand, or he fails to get qualification for the Olympics, his career, I think, is over.
No, you're 100% right. Like, Jason's 100% right. And when I said he's smart, I meant as in, like, okay, so let me try to explain this. Like, Jung Mong-gyu is a smart man, but he looks freaking stupid, right? Like, when you see him in a presser, like, he slurs his speech, and, like, the guy just doesn't look right when he's, like, when he's talking, he just doesn't look right, man. Like, let's just admit it. Like, you guys, like, he's reading off of a script and he still can't do it. So, but he's actually a smart man in a sense that, like, look what he's doing. Like, look at what he's plotting. It works for him, man. And you know what his goal is? To win another term, which is not even allowed by regulation, but he's going to try to do it. And I wouldn't be surprised if he does it. Like, if he turns this around and does and manages that again next year, I mean, to, like, give him some credit, man. Like, it really becomes a big accomplishment. Like, really. And I think he might do it because he knows how to play this game. Like, he doesn't care if he's criticized. Like, you think he really cares if people on the internet criticizing him, burning him down the way they do? It doesn't matter for him. He doesn't live in that world. He doesn't live in that. We live in that world. And, like, I'm not saying Hwang Sun-ok is as evil as that. But what I mean is that he's smart in a way that he knows how to manage his career. You mentioned that his career would be in it would be a dead-end situation if this doesn't go right for him. But until the KFA hired him to be in this position, to be the under-23 national team head coach, he was already at a dead end. Like, he had nowhere to go. Like, he failed in the K-League too. Like, he flat-out failed. And he's accused of, and, like, in a way, rightfully, ruining FC Seoul. Like, FC Seoul has never been back up since they've been down, man. Like, since they've been, like, as bad as they are right now. These British journalists asking me if Jesse Lingard's going there is going to make them a contender in the K-League. They're not winning the league this year. Like, it's not going to happen. Like, they'll be lucky to be in the top half of the table. And Hwang Seon-hong is a person who's, like, being held responsible for that mess. Like, it's a decade of underachievement for FC Seoul, and it started with his tenure. So I'm not gonna, like, whatever he did as a coach from 2015 and after, I can't really defend. I still hope that he can somehow, like, rebound from this. I don't know if I want him to be a national team manager, but, like, I want the guy to do well, and I want him to be celebrated and to be respected by people like you guys who actually love Korean football. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want you guys hating on some of these guys that I really loved growing up, but, like, I don't blame you guys when it happens, because more than half of the time, they're being forced to be in a position where they can't really do their jobs. If he fails in April and can't go to the Olympics, like, it becomes fun then, because in that case, it's not even about Hwang Seon-hong if that happens, because this becomes a catastrophe if they can't go to the Olympics at all. It's one thing to go to the Olympics, get knocked out of the group stage, you know what I mean? But if they can't go to the Olympics because they failed in Asia, or God forbid, if they lost to Japan in the group stage and they get knocked out and they just can't go, this becomes a catastrophe. And I think the public outcry on Jung Mong-kyu will be so big that he might have to go with Hwang Seon-hong. Like, if that really happens, if that's what it's going to take. I mean, I don't know if I want to risk an entire tournament for this, but, like, if that's what it's going to take, maybe that's what it's going to take. Like, I've never been one of those guys like, oh, like, Korea needs to fail at this tournament because that's the only way we're going to see change. Like, I used to, like, be really against that guy. Like, I still am, because I know a lot of people took that stance for this Asian Cup. I don't blame them, but I don't agree with it. You know what I mean? But, like, if this under-23 Asian Cup situation in April, like, if this becomes a disaster for Korea, I mean, like, how does Jung Mong-kyu defend himself? Because you can't even criticize Hwang Seon-hong, really, if you think about it, because he wasn't even with the team at their last training camp. Because this all falls on the guy who made this decision.
Well, Jason was the one saying in our group chat that he hopes we don't qualify for the Olympics.
Yeah, I mean, look, like, that jeopardizes careers. So, like, I can't really root for that. You know what I mean? Like, I see the point. I see the point. But that burns careers. And I don't want to burn any people's careers. So, like, I can't really root for that. But like I said, if that's what it's going to take for this change to happen, I mean, I feel bad for Chung Sang-bin, man. Like, he's my guy. Like, we've gotten pretty close. Like, so I want him to go to the Olympics, and at least, like, if he doesn't win a medal, at least score a few goals there and do well, because, man, like, it's been a drag for him the last 2 years. But, like, I mean, I see Jason's point. Like, if this disaster actually does happen, like, it's going to suck, but maybe, like, a disaster of this magnitude, which hasn't happened since, like, the early 80s. So that predates, like, my time, bro. Like, that predates my time. Like, way predates my time. Because we're talking about, like, early 80s now. Like, that's what this is. Korea hasn't missed the Olympics since 88.
Well, as we kind of wrap up, I guess, and I don't want to raise your blood pressure again, but a lot of people have been asking about how a football association comes to be run by one conglomerate, in this case, HTC Group. So, if you can, could you explain to some, you know, casual viewers of Korean football who Jung Mong-kyu is exactly, and how it came to be that our association is controlled by one company, and more specifically, one family? Because I believe before Jung Mong-kyu, it was like one of his cousins or something.
So this is, you just opened a, like, can of worms, but, like, I'm going to try to keep this short. So I don't know what the KFA would look like without Hyundai, because that predates my time. And when I say that predates my time, like, that's when Korea wasn't going to the World Cup. Like, we're talking about those days. You know what I mean? Because, like, Korea has been going to the World Cup since I was born. Because they started going to the World Cup since the 86. I was born in 87. I don't know what it would look like, to be honest. And I can't confidently say that they can be... I say they. I don't even say he. That they can be replaced. Because they haven't been there. Like, do you guys have an idea? Like, who would replace one of the presidents at Hyundai to run the KFA? You're going to need... You can't just be a great football mind. Like, you're going to have to know how to do some politics. You're going to have to be rich. So, like who can you guys think of who can do that?
Samsung ran their team into the ground. I wouldn't trust Lee Jae-yong. He's got a host of legal problems. I mean,
he would not. he would not be putting himself in this position. I don't think so. Yeah. Yeah, so I can't really think of anybody. And maybe there's another way to kind of manage this. But I don't think the KFA is self-sustainable, especially with the financial situation that they're in right now with the new training base that they're building in Chungju. Construction has been getting delayed time and time and time again. I don't know when that thing's going to get done. And it might not get done before the World Cup, guys. So I don't know where Korea's going to train when they play home games. The players themselves don't know. And like, especially like in this situation, like who will take that torch? Like, I don't even know if he's going to be replaced, but let's say he's being replaced. But like who's going to do it? I don't see a realistic candidate who could perform like that duty, because there's a very few, like, who in Korea can replace Hyundai? Like, which company can we're not even talking about individuals. Like, what company in Korea can replace Hyundai? Because Samsung can't do what Hyundai does. I mean, Hyundai can't do what Samsung does, but Hyundai is an irreplaceable, like, presence. I'm not saying we should all bow down and be like, you know, but like, I'm just saying that's how big and influential they are. And they've been in charge of the KFA for over, what is it now, three, four decades? So, and you talked about Jung Mong-jun. Well, he was actually, like, unlike his little cousin, he was actually, he knew how to talk. Like, in pressers, like, he was very charismatic. I mean, he's the one who brought World Cup to Korea in 2002. I mean, dude, that World Cup was supposed to go to Japan. Like, I'm not even gonna lie. Like, that World Cup was Japan's to take. And Jung Mong-jun did his Korean magic and lobbied all these people, and he was able to bring half of it to Korea. That's really what the situation was. So he's actually, like, his contributions to Korean football, like, he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I'm not sure if I can say I respect the man, because I don't know enough about him, because, like, it's not like I watched him as a player. He wasn't a player or a coach, so I don't know him. But, like, his contributions in terms of, like, the fact that he brought World Cup to Korea in 2000, that alone, like, you know, and he's the one who cut checks for Hiddink. And Hiddink pretty much was the revolution of Korean football. He changed everything. Like, without 2002, we might not even see Son Heung-min, because he was able to go to Germany with the KFA initiative that sent him to Europe. That whole initiative was inspired by 2002. So that's the kind of impact that I guess this family has on the KFA. And I mean, they've got the whole bunch of bad sides to them that might even outweigh all of the good things that I just talked about. Yeah, like, who replaces them, man?
Before I let Jason conclude, doesn't this show, Steve, though, how important 2026 is? Because I don't want to harp on the kill point, but we have a generation of Korean-Americans, Korean-Canadians that they're going to be watching. If we fuck this up, if we get embarrassed in the States, what does that do to our future pipeline of players? That's the worst case scenario for me. I'm curious what you guys think.
It damages the growth of Korean football permanently. Like, I cannot stress how important this World Cup is for Korean football. I mean, that's why I say, when people are like, oh, like, the only way we're gonna see the KFA change is if they just bomb a World Cup. Look, if you're Korea and you bomb a World Cup, you're bombing an industry. Like, you're bombing an industry. And if you bomb an industry, you're bombing 2-3 generations of people who could come through this. Like, seriously. And I don't know how serious that is to you, but that shit's serious to me. So, like, that shit's serious to me. So if they cannot afford to bomb a World Cup, especially at the back end of bombing this Asian Cup, because they bombed this Asian Cup, guys. Like, there's no other way to put it. Management standpoint, performance standpoint, they bombed the shit out of this Asian Cup. I was so disappointed during this tournament. Dude, like, you know what? You know which game disappointed me the most? When I was the most sad at this tournament? When they went 2-2 draw with Jordan. I saw the way they played and I was like, oh my God, this is not going to happen. Like, seriously. Like, I mean, I was rooting for the guys, but I was like, oh my God. Like, this team, like, a team that plays like this cannot win a tournament. Like, that was what I was saying to myself. I didn't say it to anybody. But yeah, like, going back to this whole thing, like, 2026 is extremely important, because this Asian Cup left a big damage on this team, both internally and on the outside. So if they cannot rebound, we're talking about a generation of players who've earned the kind of fame that no other footballers before their time have earned. And they've built this industry to being what it is now. Dude, I see young people in Korea, they're excited about pursuing career in football. Like, not as players. I'm talking about becoming a reporter, becoming whatever they want to be, or work for a club, or, you know, just being in the football landscape in Korea is actually becoming attractive. It wasn't like this, man. It wasn't like this even 5-10 years ago. I'm sure you guys remember. When you guys were a little bit younger, it wasn't like this. Like, when you guys were in high school, it probably wasn't like this. You know what I mean? So, dude, when I was in high school, like, you were stigmatized for wanting to be in football, wanting to be in Korean football. It's like, the only where they play real football is in Europe. Like, that's what people used to say. So it's like, you either play in Europe, you're either Park Ji-sung or you're trash. Like, that was people's attitude. I mean, we actually still kind of have that attitude now, to be honest. If this generation who has built, they're at the pinnacle of this growth, really. And if they can't produce a good World Cup, this is going to depress a generation of people who are following this sport. And that's going to have a ripple effect. I don't think Korean football can really afford that, because you look at the K-League now. I mean, they're averaging over 10,000 fans per game now. And yeah, it should be something that should be celebrated, but that should be the bare minimum. That should be the bare minimum. This is a growing league. Like, they should be able to double, triple that attendance if they want to be successful, if they have aspirations to become successful, and if Korean football has aspirations to maybe win a World Cup one day. Yeah, if they fail this 26th World Cup, yeah, it's not going to look good. Like, this will leave a permanent damage for the next, I don't know, 2, 3, even 4, 5 generations for Korean football.
Listening to your podcast is one thing, but actually engaging with you and getting you the questions is just truly, like I said, when we started, you know, a privilege. I know you do some incredible work with FIFA. Like you said, you were following Chung Sang-jin in his preseason with Minnesota. Where can our viewers and listeners find you? And do you have any cool upcoming projects?
So I work through an agency. That's how I get to work with all these cool clients, called Ganessa. It's a very nice agency based in Japan, providing opportunities for freelancers like myself. So yeah, I get to work with all these great work for all these great clients like FIFA, Manchester City, Celtic, Borussia Dortmund, Wolverhampton. Yeah, it's been great. It's been a blessing, really. I've been fortunate to do this. You could check us out, FIFA.com, the Korean edition. So just come on FIFA.com. You can come to the Korean edition and check us out there. We have a very exciting Maya Yoshida interview coming, Jung Sang-bin interview coming, and a couple other interviews. Really, it's just exciting stuff. We have an interview coming with Mikey Hayashi, who is an analyst at Urawa Reds, has no playing background, but he's got his coaching badges in Portugal and England. Really interesting guy, speaks fluent English. So yeah, a lot of exciting stuff, and just not just me, like our editors. So we have a team of really talented Korean editors, and we're always looking to engage with people who are interested in working with us as well. I might actually get in touch with you guys about that. You guys can also check us out, like, on Naver. We all have, like, separate channels there. Like, the Manchester City channel is on there. The Borussia Dortmund channel is on there. The Wolverhampton channel is on there. The Celtic channel hasn't started that long ago, but it's there. So you can check my work out there, and also some of our editors. You can check me out on Twitter. Real Steve Scores is my handle. My Instagram's pretty much for, like, friends and stuff like that, but I mean, it's the same handle, Real Steve Scores, so you can check me out on there as well. Yeah, but I've just been fortunate enough to work for some really, really, really cool, like, you know, organizations. Like, you know, my 14 years with Goal was unbelievable. So, like, yeah, I've been lucky, man. It's been great. It's been a ride for sure.